You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Hi, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, with another hour show with a wonderful, beautiful guest tonight. So I want to tell everybody what's going on. I hope everybody is safe and you're behaving yourselves and keeping your distance from people. I was out and about today, and they had these things on the floor. That you have to stay so far apart. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not going to last long for many people. The people that I watched, they were so irritated because they were wearing masks and they had to stand away from everybody and they had to do this. It's like you're in prison camp. You're a prisoner of war. That's what they were telling me that. God, how long is this going to end? You know, I'm complaining and I'm thinking, well, the alternative, if you think about it, this is easy. You know what I'm saying? So I did a little bit of that today. And, of course, the magazine is up, mysticlivingtoday.com. You can always send in your articles, your excerpts, your poetry, press releases I accept. I always like images with everything that I get because people like to see. I found that over the years that people like to actually look at something, not just read. So I always make sure that there's an image along with it. And, of course, my stars, psychics, stars with a Z, psychics.com. We've got some exciting things coming, actually. Well, for me and Tony, I mean, I have an artist from Spain who developed these cards, tarot cards, our stars tarot cards, and they're just beautiful. They will be for sale. We're going to have them in the Google App Store, and you'll be able to get them, and a lot of my readers will be using them, I'm hoping anyways, and it's going to be nice. You're going to be in awe of these, so that's one thing. And other than that, that's my latest news. I'm fine. Everybody's fine in my family. Now, on to my beautiful guest. This lady is quite the lady. She's very accomplished. She's done a lot. She's written. She just released a book in the fall of 2019. And I want to welcome tonight Anne Drake. How are you, Anne?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent. Excellent. Can
good.
You tell?
Yes.
I try to be. I mean, I try to be. You know, you have to. When you do something like this, you really have to be up. I mean, I always relax before the show. I always meditate. And then this other personality comes out and look out. So anyways, okay, Anne, I would like, I'm gonna tell everybody what you've written, okay? Your first book was Healing of the Soul, Shamanism and Psyche, and it was published in 2004. Now, you do other things, but your latest book, which was done, as I said, in the fall of 2019, The Energetic Dimension, Understanding Our Karmic, Ancestral, and Cultural Imprints. That, to me, is amazing in itself because most people believe we have things that we pull in from another lifetime, things you and I were just discussing this before we went on the air. So, first of all, I ask all my guests this, Anne, how did you get into this? How did you get your feet wet that you started your shaman? How did you start all of this for yourself?
Well, I'm also a clinical psychologist, and I had specialized in working with people who have severe trauma. And I ended up with several people in my practice that had distinct multiple personalities. So I would watch as one of them would, you know, an energetic shh, and one person would leave, and then shh, this other person would take over. And even though they were in the same body, they looked very different. I could tell in an instant, you know, who was with me. And they had even different physical attributes. Like one personality would wear glasses, one wouldn't, one would have asthma, another one wouldn't. And so it was fascinated me, and I would ask colleagues, like, well, what do you think is happening? And they'd say, oh, the person switched. It was an altar. And I said, well, I know that, but how does it happen? How does this energetic movement go in and out, and you have a whole different person who has no awareness of the other one that was just here? So about the time I was pondering this and not getting very far, I had this pull to go back to Malaysian Borneo, where I'd been in the Peace Corps. And of course, there are no accidents. You have to trust those pulls that when you feel a calling, you have to trust them. And so I was traveling with a dear friend who was a Jungian analyst, and she was very interested, because we were going all over the place, not only just to Borneo, and to meet shamans. And I sort of knew what shamans were, but not really, which is very strange, because when I lived there for over 2 years, we were 3 days by boat to the nearest city. So all of the healing work was done by local healers. Yes, I was the first woman, white woman they'd ever seen, and they'd never heard of the United States, which was quite refreshing in some ways. And but they had heard of Coca-Cola.
Oh, you're kidding!
And, yes, they'd heard of
the
Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola had made it to right. Yes, had made it all the way to Borneo, but they didn't know where it came from, and they thought all white people came from New Zealand, because those were the only white people they had encountered in their life. So all of my healing work was done by the local healers, but I hadn't put two and two together to consider that they were shamans. They were just my neighbors and local healers. So when I went back to visit, the custom was to hang out at the home of the local shaman, and he was actually the father of one of my students. I taught fifth grade for a couple of years when I was there. And he invited my friend and I to go on a healing to another village that was built entirely over water. And he was sort of known in the area as being the most gifted of all the healers, so he was called in for the more challenging situations. So we went there, and we walked up these rickety, getting out of the boat, up these rickety steps into this sort of grass hut, no furniture, just grass mats on the floor. And this man was lying there, and he was kind of green and bloated, and he looked to be in his 90s, and it turned out he was 39. And the Bomo, as that's the name of the male shaman, covered him in a green paste and put newspapers over him, and then had knives that he was waving around and saying incantations. And I was sure this poor man was going to die before the ceremony was over, because I'd never seen anyone look quite
pretty
like
scary,
him.
Pretty scary, I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because here, you know, you're in the hospital and they have pump you full of things, and, you know, it's a bit different. But after the healing, he began to stir and was able to sit up, and that evening was able to eat a little bit, and he regained full health. And when we got back, I asked the Bomo, well, what happened? What was wrong with him? What did you do? And he said that the man was a fisherman in the South China Sea, which I know from experience is shark-infested, and when your boat capsizes, you're pretty sure to be eaten before you are rescued. And so in total terror, most of his soul left his body, and he was rescued before he was eaten. But the terror had filled his body, and his soul couldn't get back in. So the Bomo had to first remove the terror of being eaten by sharks from his body, so that he could bring his soul back in. And that's how I returned to full health. And so it was like, now I get it. All these poor people who had been really tortured as children would dissociate. And always with multiple personalities, there's a personality of the perpetrator in there that they take in that keeps torturing the system and getting them to recreate what happened to them. So there's the perpetrator personality, and then little ones that were, you know, totally terrorized, that dissociated and kind of went away. So that gave me, you know, a huge understanding of how to work with people that were severely traumatized. And before we left, he told us that his guides had said that he was to initiate us to the path of the shaman. And as it turns out, on many years later, after learning how to do this and do journeys into previous lifetimes, I discovered that I had been his great-great-grandmother in another lifetime, and this, I was part of this lineage in my karmic lineage. And which is why when I first went there, I kept having all these deja vu experiences that I had come
home. Wow. I see,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, oh, and you know. And
did he, did he ever change how he looked? I mean, you said he was 39, but he looked like he was in his 90s. But once he went through all this, did he seem to appear a little bit healthier and better?
I think so. I mean, I only saw him that night. We didn't go back. We just got
reports
that he'd gotten better. Oh, I'm sure he did. Because,
you know,
I mean, any of us, when we're really sick, can look like,
death,
you know,
warmed over.
Yeah. So, so then I would go back every year or two or three to study with him. I'd stay for a month and live with him and follow him around and learn from him. And then I needed, though, to put the world of clinical psychology. At the time I was doing all this, I was actually even teaching in a doctoral program. So I was really entrenched in, you know, traditional psychology. And then I had this awakening, and I finally had to leave because I felt like I was only teaching part of how we really operate, because Western psychology leaves out the energetic dimension of our being.
So was that when you wrote your first book, the one in 2004?
Yes, I was I was trying to put together the two worlds of how shamanism really informs and enhances the psychological understanding of us as people. And there were really aspects of all the major psychological theories in shamanic work, from, you know, the importance of community, which is sort of the systemic approach, to the sort of psychodynamic object relations that looks at how we take in sort of the psychic structure of others. And it was more like an idea, but we literally do take in the energy of our parents and our families, for good and for ill. Sometimes we take in really positive traits, such as I can do anything. Sometimes we don't. Yes. And we walk around carrying this energy.
Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. Yeah,
yes,
it's true.
Yeah, yeah, we carry these energies, that aren't us, and which can fortunately be healed and transformed through shamanic work.
Oh, wow, how fascinating. Now, do you still go back there?
I haven't been back in a while. My teacher died in 2016, and I was last back in 2014. So I got
to see him.
But he was he had lost his sight by then and wasn't very well, but I wanted to go back and see him again. But I haven't been back since he's passed. But I hope to maybe go back again if we're ever able to fly again, especially
You know, I think we all have to realize it's all about faith, and that there's just too many great minds working on things, and all of these spiritual people who are working in their own way. I mean, I talk to God every day. I mean, and everybody knows that. I mean, sometimes it's not always nice what I have to say, because I get a little upset. Come on, let's fix this. You know, this is enough. Enough is enough.
Like a whole energetic or sort of shamanic understanding to this. Like, my students and I have all journeyed, and we all got the same thing, that this is here to help us really shift our consciousness to a higher level.
Exactly.
And
it's maybe a layman's way, is that it's a comeuppance. And to let everybody know, it can change on a dime. And we, all of us, it's all been all about the money. Now it's got to be right. about self and each other all over the world, not just about how much this is going to make me. Oh, I'm not going to do this if I don't make enough money. I mean, if you think
right.
about it, the world has been about making money. Too many, just too many. And so I think I kind of see it as like, you know, it got all scrambled. Now
right,
it's going to get unscrambled.
Right.
It's going to be, you do too. See, people like us, we just keep giving and giving and giving, and we don't think anything of it. We really don't. It's not about the money. I mean, it's just not. I mean, I do the shows for nothing, but I love what I do. So, see, it's the passion. You have to start doing things
right.
for different reasons, and then you're going to feel more whole. You're going to feel better inside about yourself. I mean, I've been through a lot. A lot of people have been through a lot. I mean, I don't tell everybody what my life was like. It was not that nice. But, boy, I've come out of it. And like you, I'm sure, and everybody else that's listening. So you're absolutely right. It's a shift. It's just it's something that had to be. It's been going on too long, and people need to shape up. And
right.
we'll be flying again. I mean, I hardly ever fly, although I want to fly a plane. That's what I want to do. Isn't that crazy? Well, it's true. Since I was a little girl, my dad would take me to the airport every Saturday, and I watched him, you know, land and take off and drive everybody crazy that was on the airstrip there, because it was a single-engine planes. It wasn't the commercial ones. It was in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
Detroit City Airport, not Metropolitan Airport.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my friends were playing with dolls. I was watching planes. I was learning
wow.
about the planes. So, but it was my dad's love, and he shifted it to me. But anyways, I think that's going to come to be. I just don't know how people are going to keep doing all of this. I mean, the more you open things, and you have to realize that, people are just going to go back to their old ways, because that's what people do. They're not going to, you know, I had to go see an oral surgeon today, and I mean, he didn't shake my hands. He didn't have a mask on. I didn't either. They took my temperature, which was fine. But, you know, he was even talking about it. And I said, has your practice suffered? And he said, no, because he does specialized work. He's not just cleaning and that kind of thing. He does the specialized work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but you know, people in the entry of the building, masks, and before you could get on the elevator, you had to take your temperature. I mean, how long are we going to keep doing this, you know? I mean, I don't know. Some of my friends have had it. I haven't been out that much. Have you? You go out a lot?
No, well, I'm in Massachusetts, and we've been hit pretty hard. We have the third most cases in the country. So, you know, we're not allowed to go anywhere without a mask on, and can't go into any stores without a mask on. So people are taking it pretty seriously, because, you
should.
Everyone knows people that have gotten really sick or died. And so, but I think if we can get into our hearts and open our heart and start to think with our hearts instead of with our wallets, you know, like we want more money, and be kind and compassionate, that'll
exactly
shift the vibration.
Exactly what I was saying. It's been,
it's been all
about the money. You got to change that. Like how you and I function. People are not like us, I'm telling you. I mean, I interview beautiful people that are, but I mean, that's like, I don't even know, hundreds maybe, but I'm talking about the world. People are, and so many are so self-centered. Maybe it's survival for them. I don't know, but let's go into more about this latest book that you did, because I'm curious about this. We were talking about how we, you know, I'm an empath, and how you bring things in from another lifetime. And so what is the energetic dimension? Describe what your book is about. I want to learn about this latest book that you just did.
Okay. Well, everything is energy, and our bodies and all the things we see in the world are actually slowed down energy that makes matter. And this is according to the sort of Hindu tradition, but we have a dream body that attaches at our solar plexus in front and our kidneys at back, and it's an energetic sort of body that holds every memory of every lifetime and every experience that we've ever had. And it's what carries us from one lifetime to the next. You know, and our consciousness is in there, and all of our experiences are in there. So as we come into each incarnation, I really believe that we come in with something to heal from previous lifetimes. Obviously, you can't take on all the healing of all your lifetimes at once. So there's sort of a particular focus, and you tend to be born into conditions that create the optimal opportunity for healing, as well as we come into each lifetime with something to manifest, something to give back that helps with the evolution of our soul. And so the karmic imprint, you know, is what we carry from one lifetime to the next, and certain aspects of our karmic imprint are stronger at given times. And there's some belief that before we cycle off the planet, we have to experience everything. And it was one of the things that kind of made sense to me, because, you know, how do you reconcile that someone, you know, is born into a loving, wealthy family and gets all the advantages of life, and someone else is born into abject poverty or has been living
right
on the street since they were four. You know, there has to be some way of rationalizing that, and I guess maybe that's how I did that we have to experience everything. And so each lifetime we have new lessons to experience. And so if you've had a really rough time in this lifetime, it may be a lesson that you needed to learn, or that you needed to heal something from another lifetime to make peace with that experience. And, you know, in our country, there's so much abuse, whether it's
right
sexual
oh, right
or neglect or physical or
emotional, psychological.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh,
we're this
yes
wealthy
I know
country,
about
but
that.
Yes, yeah. And so it's,
I mean,
an
mine
opportunity
was more,
to heal
it. And so I brought something. I had to learn something, I guess, by having parents like I had. I mean, I wasn't beaten or anything like that. I was just, I was an only child, but you would never know it because I wasn't. My mother was self-centered, and my dad was really sweet, obviously, taking me to the airport, taking an eight-year-old with him, dragging her along.
Right.
But you know, it was time alone. I spent so much time alone, and it didn't bother me. It didn't. I mean, I made good of the time. I would read, listen to music. I still listen to music. I go, my headphones are on all the time when I'm working. And I read a lot. I watched television, but not that much. Not that much at all. I did a lot of, I want to call it daydreaming, but I don't know if it was really daydreaming. A lot of thinking. And for a little girl
right
to do that, that's unusual. Usually they're out playing with their friends, and I had, So I'm such an empath. Do you think I brought that through, and maybe being alone, that I get really upset. I'm so empathic, it bothers me. I mean, it really does. I mean, sometimes I can't watch certain things. It's animals. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, I feel for them, and I want to fix it. And so I must have something in another lifetime.
Right.
Is it usually the opposite of what you are now, or is it something similar? I mean, you say you have to learn something. What was I learning? I'm just telling so my audience is, so they know. What was I learning when I was a little girl, when I was all alone? Maybe I had a lot of, in another lifetime, I was, like, surrounded by people?
Well, maybe it was so that you could come to sort of know yourself better and think about the larger issues that I worry about, you know, the kids today that, you know, look at screens all day long and
exactly in their telephones
don't
yeah,
really
exactly
spend telephone time
yep
you know, sort of fantasizing, daydreaming. You could almost
oh, God,
think
I
of it
so
as
much of it.
What
yep
what we consider even shamanic journeys. You can travel to different realms, different realities, and even sort of, you know, make up lives you wish you had, and that may also be a remembering of a lifetime where you were happy. I mean, there's so many things that can happen.
Oh, that
happen
makes a lot of
creative
sense to me. I probably did a lot of that, and I probably I love magical things. I mean, I'm not talking about magic like hat tricks and stuff. I mean,
right.
Out of the ordinary, and I've always believed like that. I that's probably how I survived, is that, well, my co-host thought, she said, no, you had archangels with you. She said you were not alone. She said you developed so fast, but in not the area that everybody else did. And that's true. That's very true. Mm-hmm. Very spiritual. I look at things differently. My friends will tell me that. Where'd that come from? Why do you do that? Why do you think that? I don't know. But I wouldn't change how I am at all for the world. I really wouldn't change. So, yeah, I think you're probably right. I had to learn learn more about myself, and my creativity was allowed to flow, you know,
right.
Because
look what you've done
I didn't
now,
have anybody
you know.
Ordering yeah. me around, well, right. For the most part. And so I had all this freedom, and I didn't have to be with my friends to do silly things like play with dolls and dress up. Not that it was silly; it helps you to grow when you do that. But for mm-hmm. me, it wasn't important. Obviously, there was other things that were important for me that I took with me as I grew up, and then I had to get through another lifetime of ups and downs. And I mean, it was like something similar that I was raised in, and then, you know, I moved that, and then now I'm alone, and but it's taken me a really, really long time to it's not even an adjustment. I mean, my whole life has been, and a lot of people, it's not just me, but mine has been difficulty after difficulty, but I came through it all. I really did, I'm really proud. I mean, you know, I have great people around me, but I think you have to you surround yourself with good people because you're a good person. Good people, you attract what you are, and that's
right.
True. You know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, often from difficulties we grow and learn, and the challenges is when we stop growing, we give up. But as long as you keep, you know, you kept fighting and to become who you wanted to be, and you overcame those obstacles. And we all have that capacity to do that, but we get pushed down by what people say we can do or can't do. And
right.
Some people give up, and you didn't, which was really beautiful. And look at all the things you've created now.
Well, and I had somebody that was always pushing me down, and even when I was a little girl, you see. So I kept mm-hmm. striving. I kept building inner strength. And, the magazine is really, I have people that want to write for it all the time. They want to pay me. I don't want anything for it. No. That's my gift to the world. That's something that I love to have people like yourself, articles from people like yourself, and excerpts and things to show all the beautiful work that's being done out there that otherwise a lot of people wouldn't even know they exist. You would not even know. And so, I mean, that seems to be a rush of people. Can I write for your magazine? I'll pay you. No. You don't have to pay me. This is my gift. This is what I want to do. It's my passion. I love it. I love people. I love learning. Talking to you, I mean, I feel so good talking to you. It's because your knowledge is coming to me, and you're getting things from me because you're listening. And I love it. I love it. Now, your latest book, what made you write about this? I mean, it's kind of like the energetic dimension. I love that word dimension also. I think mm-hmm. of all the dimensions that there are. And, you know, it's not just where we are. There's other ones. And
right.
But, you know, so explain a little bit about that. Where did the title come from? And, you know, what did you hope to achieve with it? I mean, you wanted to tell people about cultural imprints. And now explain imprints. Imprints is something that you bring from before, that another lifetime,
well,
it's imprinted
on you. Well, if you think
you?
Of the, well, if you think of energy, the imprints are, mm-hmm. are energetic vibrations. And so, if you're born into a depressed family, you will absorb energetically that those vibrations into your energetic field, or an anxious family. And the same is with karmic imprints, you know, they're different vibrations. So you can, you know, go someplace, to another country, and maybe you've lived there before, and you'll have a strong vibrational reaction to being there, like,
yes.
Oh, I love this place, or I want to run away, I don't want to stay here. Cultural imprints are how we come to think about things based on our culture, and that was such a wake-up call. I mean, I grew up in rural Indiana, and going to Malaysian Borneo was, you know, you couldn't get much different from those two places. And as a child, I was born into a very sort of fundamental religious family and went to church and used to leave my body and go sit with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when I was 5 or 6 in church and look down at everyone, and it was quite lovely. I always thought that was what a religious experience was. But you know, so I was taught very definite rules about good and bad and
mm-hmm.
heaven and hell and all those kind of things. So
yeah, me too. Yeah.
Then I go to this other country where, when as a child, I used to see spirits, and I would report on seeing. We moved into a house where someone had died, and they were still there, and I could see them, and I would get spankings for making up lies to get attention. And so I quit doing that. And then I go to Borneo, where spirits are everywhere and everyone sees them. And there was one spirit named Pointianic, who was essentially a vampire. She had long dark hair and pale skin. I was 22 at the time, with long dark hair and pale skin. And she would seduce men and then suck the life force out of them, which was an interesting concept of a spirit. But I was told never to go out at night by myself because people might think I was Pointianic and kill me. And I said, well,
yeah.
Can't you tell the difference between a spirit and a human? And they said, no, they look exactly the same. And here, you know, we don't allow the notion of spirits, you know, it's make-believe, you know, ghosts are make-believe.
Right.
So that's
right.
Like a huge different imprint of even how you perceive reality, of being born into a culture where all those beings exist and everyone sees them versus one in which they don't. And one thing, the energetic dimension isn't a new concept. Most of the world is very much aware that we're energetic beings and that we are energetically interconnected with the land, the earth, the trees, the rocks, the elements, and that we're all part of the same whole. And that's part of what I'm hoping this virus will teach us as a world, that we're all part of the same whole and we're all interdependent and all connected to each other. So what culture we're born in, I mean, just the difference between you being in South Carolina and me being in Massachusetts, that's a whole different way of kind of perceiving reality, too. There are different cultural
right.
things that you do that are different from, you know, different regions of the country.
Right.
And how you think about things and perceive things. So, you know, the culture that you're born into, and we tend to treat people of different race and ethnicity and culture is different from us and not as good as us, when we're just different, diverse people, but we're all in our hearts the same, and we're all kind of the same kind of beings. So it's very important to understand that we carry these energies that often block us from knowing who we truly are, because we get told who we are, you know.
As, we do.
You know, it used to be, you know, girls were told, I remember growing up, I was told I could be a teacher, a nurse, a secretary or a travel agent. I don't know why travel agents got in there. But
I don't know either. But that sounds about right. That's about right.
Right.
Yep. Or you got married and had kids. That was it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You went to college to get your MRS, not your BA or BS.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yep. That's right. MRS. I like it. Yep.
Right. So now, you know, young girls grow up thinking they can be anything. You know, it's very different, you know. And so the time period that we grow up in impacts how we view things and view reality as well. So there's so many factors that go into perceiving who we are, and we get attached to these beliefs, but we don't take time to say, is this what we really think? I mean, like you, when I was a child, I couldn't reconcile how God was all loving and all forgiving, and yet people could go to hell. And I could never quite figure out what was that one thing that would send you to hell or one thing that would send you to heaven. So I was pondering those questions.
Right, because
you know,
if he forgives you, then why are you going to hell?
Right, right. So, you know, there were different things.
All you have to do is atone, and he forgives everyone. You know, you have to,
right.
You have to just... but yet, I was raised a Catholic, and I lived in Detroit, you know, the Motown area, and
right.
I went to Mass every day, and I felt like I was being brainwashed because I realized, and I think it was probably after I made my sacraments, you know, communion and confirmation, and, you know, that I looked around and I thought, well, God isn't just here. Why do I have to be here to pray? I don't have to do that. I mean, I realized that when I was pretty young. And I thought, I can be anywhere. I can be sitting at home. And if he's everywhere, if it's all everywhere, why do I have to be in this place that's got all this gold hanging on? And that's how I started thinking. It was really strange, I guess because I was exposed to a lot with the church that, wait a minute, just wait a minute here. Where are they getting all this money? You know? There's money all over the place. The churches are very rich.
Right.
The Catholic churches are very rich, very wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with supporting the church, but that it did something to people. It made them go. It was like to me, it was like a brainwashing because it didn't teach you that. Well, they didn't want you to pray at home. They wanted you to come to church every Sunday. I went to Mass every day just to get a ride to high school, but I didn't mind, you know. I utilized the time, but you know what I did when I was in church, Anne, is I daydreamed a lot. I kept leaving the place. Like I was there, but my body was there, but I wasn't there. I don't know. I was just off.
Or you were maybe journeying, what we call shamanic journeying. Yeah.
Yes.
You were going
maybe
into different dimensions.
Yes. I mean, I wasn't there. I mean, sometimes I'd have to be poked to stand up, and I knew. And I knew that I thought you should be listening to all this, but I didn't really want to. It was like it didn't serve purpose for me. I had other things to do. I think guess that's what it's like. You said I was going on my own little journey. I was just see you in an hour. I'm out. I'm out of here. And so then it didn't weigh on me as much because I noticed my friends they. You know, they always complained. You know, oh, I got to go again and again. I didn't complain because I used it as and you're right, Anne, I used it as an outlet because I could do what I wanted to do while I was there. And I didn't have to talk to anybody. I didn't have to look at anybody. All I had to be was me, and that was it. And I really probably learned an awful lot doing all of that, and I think in a sense it probably helped to make me the person that I am. I mean, it did show me some things.
Yeah.
It wasn't wrong, but I have a great imagination. I mean, I can just, you know, I think of things that I can't even, if I could just write them all down and make stories out of them, it would be wonderful, but I'm not an author. I'm not a writer. I tell everybody about, I have a fairy tale, but I just can't sit down. I could tell you about it and talk about it, but to sit down and write it, you know what I'm saying, Anne? Like, you can write. Mm-hmm. You are a writer. But to sit down and write it, I could probably record it And I mean, I love to read. I love to read to people. And I think I would do better doing that, you know, than having somebody read my words. Because the words to me, your words me are meaningful to me. Because I look just at your site and they mean something. Everything, your blog, everything means something to me. But writing like something like what I wanted to do, it'd be mostly for young people. I guess it's the time is not right. Maybe that's what it is. Everybody says, well, when you're ready to do it, you'll do it. Well, gee whiz. Geez Louise, when is that going to happen, right?
there are different ways of expressing ourselves. And you have, you know, this program, you have the magazine, you know,
yeah.
You have all these things you're doing. And so that's how you express yourself. And for me, writing helps me organize my thoughts and sort of make sense of the world. I was one of these rare people that actually enjoyed writing a dissertation because I discovered I really loved writing and I didn't know that.
You're blessed. I envy you. Because I can tell. I can tell by what I've seen thus far. I could talk it, but I can't write it. Isn't that funny how people, but I think, like you said, we all kind of open these doors of opportunities. I mean, like the magazine fell in my lap. It wasn't my idea. But I think you have chances to do certain things and you either get pulled to them or you don't. And I always tell people, look at them, and then if you don't want to do it, then don't do it. You know, it's like a door of opportunity. Open it, peek through. Nope, don't want to do that. Okay, close the door and go on to the next. But I believe that. Everything comes to us the way it's supposed to, and sometimes it's difficult waiting. Wait, and people have to wait sometimes a very long time. I have been waiting centuries for a particular man, centuries, and I know who he is. And I will continue to wait as long as it takes. Now, you see, that's what I'm really good at, waiting. I have the patience of Job. I can wait. I will outlast you. I will outlast you because I'm – and I think, you know, now that I'm talking to you, I learned that as a little girl. I had to do that as a little girl, wait. I had to wait and have patience because I didn't get a lot of attention, but it was okay. You know, I don't know. I don't know. What's your take? Just go ahead and tell me. Talk to me. Just interrupt me.
No, I mean, patience is a real gift, and we live in a country that's not that patient. And I found in Asia people were quite patient, and they moved in this natural rhythm. And they were so connected to each other, well, at least where I was in Borneo, that it was so refreshing because community was so important and being kind to one another was so important. And patience was part of it. You didn't get mad at someone because they were 5 minutes late or they didn't quite get something done they were supposed to get done. You know, it was just a nice, relaxed flow of life. But back to why I wrote the book, in part was that there's so many things we carry that block who we truly are. And I wanted people to be aware of that and to know that they could shed some of the imprints that aren't helpful and sort of enhance the ones that are helpful. Like you learned patience as a child, and that may have been part of who you are, but you've use that to your benefit as you move through life. We can kind of trace these things through life to better understand who we are, what we came here to do. And a lot of people are told what they're to do or what they're to be, or you're good at this, so you should be a scientist, or you're good at that, you should be a car mechanic, or you know, whatever people will tell you to do, but maybe that's not what you want to do, or maybe what you came here to do. When we were both little girls, we didn't know that you could do podcasts and that you could, you know, practice shamanism. I mean, you know, I didn't even know about psychologists when I was a little girl, I think.
But I said, like, I'm in the digital world. I mean, I have three monitors. I, you know, I have clients that have trouble getting into the site. They do something wrong, so sometimes I have to call. I mean, I'm really good at doing that. I mean, and I love that. I mean, I can do bookkeeping. I learned that from a CPA. I can do a lot of things. And, you know, it's really strange because now that I'm older, my son always said to me, Mom, if you would have had encouragement when you were young, because I'm really smart, you could have done anything. But I said that was the lifetime that I grew up in. We weren't encouraged to think for ourselves, to go out. Things didn't exist. Certain careers didn't exist. They really didn't,
right.
Because it had to evolve. And I'm lucky that, and I've been blessed with awesome health, that I've been able to step into the world, and I learned really fast, and I had some great teachers along the way and absorbed it. And so that was part of the patience, I think, too, Ann, is that I, you know, maybe when I was little, I don't think I knew this, but maybe I did, that something's going to happen. All of this that I'm doing, all this time I'm alone, is going to benefit me somehow, some way. Or maybe I didn't. I really didn't think about getting older at all. I was in the now. I was just in the now. But I wasn't upset being in the now. You know, I just found things to do. I read. Like I said, I just didn't bother me at all. I didn't miss a beat. It never upset me that the kids would walk by my house, go get each other, but they wouldn't come get me. I didn't cry, didn't stomp my feet. I just spun around and went about my day and did my own thing, which is amazing when you're a little kid. Usually
right.
You don't do that. You cry. Why don't they want to come get me? Did I do something? Mm-mm. No. It didn't affect me at all. I was like my own entity. I was my own. I didn't revolve around them. I didn't need them. That was another thing, too. I didn't need them. I had a lot of friends in the neighborhood. We were then a lot of younger people in the neighborhood, young kids, you know, all about my age, and we all, you know. But you would have thought two little girls passing your house, it would have made you stomp your feet and cry and have a tantrum. Mm-mm. Nope. I learned to be alone. I managed it very well. And you'd think, I mean, and I have times now, though, listen to this, Ann, I have times now, though, where I just wish, you know, that that person would come in my life so I could have something, because I miss that. But yet I do okay by myself, you know. I find things to do. I create, you know. I'm always doing something. I do the books for my business. I mean, it's nonstop for me, but you know, there's still a part of me, and I say to myself, you know, you were always alone. Why can't sometimes you deal with this? But I think sometimes, you know, we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. So, you know, I don't know, I have a very complex personality. I guess, I don't know. But anyway, the thing here is, it says the goal is to be able to shed the layers that block us from truly experiencing our core essence and who we
right.
truly are. Okay,
right.
Shed the layers that block us, such as? What blocks us?
Well, a lot of beliefs that we were taught. I remember in my 20s, after I came back from the Peace Corps, and I had this little farm up in New Hampshire, and was out gardening one day, and I realized that I had two voices in my head. One was what I thought, and one was what I was told to think, and what I was supposed to be doing, and how I was supposed to be living. And that awareness was like, oh, you know, how do you reconcile what you really feel inside with what you are taught? And that's part of the cultural imprint, but it's also the ancestral imprint. It's almost like the karmic imprint of what we came here to do and who we really are needed to have space to emerge. And being alone is one way to have that happen, or meditating, or praying, you know, and just being quiet, walking in nature. You can hear who you are, and you can connect with all the the spirits that are in the world. We all have helping spirits, power animals, spirit guides that are here guiding us and getting us into different situations, or, you know, but if we listen to them and listen to ourselves and honor that, we can do whatever we want to do. And I know for myself, every major mistake I made in my life, I didn't listen to what I really knew to be true. I did what other people said I should do, or what I, you know, what they thought I should do, or, okay, everyone wants me to do this, so I'll do that. And it was like, no, that wasn't the right thing for me. So it's like learning to listen to yourself and to get that you may not be depressed. You may be carrying your dad's depression, or maybe the anxiety you're carrying isn't yours, but it's your mom's anxiety. And once you realize that energies you're carrying aren't you, they can be removed, healed, and transformed, and you can feel more and more like who you truly are.
And empowered.
Yes. Yeah. That's, and it's not about power over. It's just being who you are and feeling comfortable in your own skin.
My mother was a powerful woman. In the work that she did, she probably would have went in politics had she have been born later on, and you know, in the years, not so you know, in the time she was, because that's how she was. She was a leader. I do carry on that, get that from her. I do have that ability from her, but I have the sensitivity of my dad. I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. So you're right about that. We do. If you think about it and you dissect it, you can see that you are both. But you have to make sure that you take on the good part of both. Don't, you know, like the power. Well, you can be a wench. I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You can be this pushy woman because you got this from your mother. She could get anybody to do anything she wanted, but I didn't take it like that. I that's not me at all. Maybe it's because of the sensitivity and the caring from my dad. So it was a nice blend. I ended up with a nice blend. In a sense,
right?
Because I have a lot of people that work for me on my one site, and they gravitate. I mean, I'm not because I'm oh so wonderful, and I'm so famous. I'm not. I don't know. Maybe it's your essence. It's what you are. And so if I look at it that way, that's a good thing. I never thought of it that I actually obtained from both of them. The abilities and the sensitivity, and my dad was very sensitive, but my mother ruled the roost. But I could see in him how sweet and kind and caring, and you know, my mother, you could fear my mother. Isn't that strange? God, what she carried through from her life, I can only imagine. But and I think too we have to take the good things, you know, try to continue on with the good things and not bringing through anything that you just have to be a good person. That's all that I know. I know you are, Anne. I have no doubt about that with you at all. You are, and I want to go to your site here while we're talking. It is called Anne Drake. soulwork.com, and now you have posts there. I'm going to pick one. All of them are, well, most of them, themes from energetic dimensions. And then you have some renewing our sacred contract with the earth, themes from remembering who we have been, the energy of hate. Oh, that can really destroy you. The energy of love.
It can.
And that
can
you. I don't. I mean, I can loathe something, but even if I don't like something that's being done, I don't hate the person that's spreading that. I erase that. I just don't. But hate can destroy you. So what is this like? Healing a broken container. So are we the container? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I can't quite remember what that one was about. all, but we all have a container. I mean, you know, our energetic container that we live in, and it can be healed. All this horrible trauma, there are ways of removing the trauma from the field and finding the parts of us that were deeply wounded and healing them and bringing it back. And it's not like you have to live broken your whole life. There are ways of healing and transforming. And many people feel like, oh, I had so many horrible things happen to me. I'm broken. I'm ruined. I can't do anything. And they turn to, you know, addictive behaviors or
right.
They become who they were told, oh, you're no good. You'll never be anything. Or, you know, you're bad or all those things. And
you're
so, well,
worthless.
If I'm bad,
yeah.
I might as well act bad. So, you know, people can tell you who you are and tell you in a negative way. And all of that can be healed. And that's part of the message, that there are these healing practices out there that most of the world knows. It's only been about 300 years that the practice of healing people energetically and with guides and helpers from the universe, that's how cultures healed. And then the church decided that that was bad because it was taking away from the church's teachings. And, you know, there was the Spanish Inquisition, where a lot of healers were healed. And Jesus had said, you know, what I can do, you can do. But the church didn't buy that message. He was the only one who could heal. He was an amazing healer. I think he was a shaman. He could do incredible things.
Oh, yes. You're right about that.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Right. And so
my most favorite
he had too
time
much power.
Is Easter. Isn't that funny? My most favorite time is Easter. I love the colors purple and yellow. I've always loved them all my life. And you know, when you think about Jesus, he was a man. He walked earth. It wasn't like some spiritual being. So I think a lot of people can relate to that. If you want to talk about religion, and he went around and he healed, I have a Bible based on from the Mormons that was sent to me, a beautiful work in there, and sometimes I will read it, but there's so much. I wish that somebody could write about those times in, like, regular, the English, not this, like, you know how these books, like the Bibles are written, like it's strange, you can't really relate to it? Somebody needs to pick that up and make it so that everybody can say, okay, he walked the earth and he went here and he did this for these people. Then he went and moved to another little town and he did this. And the fishermen and all, see, I think sometimes we take things from long ago and it doesn't get interpreted right because we don't know how to interpret it.
Exactly.
And Jesus came to me. And I was in a very difficult time. I saw him. He came to me once in a dream, and he hardly ever comes to anybody in a dream. But I saw him. I saw the feet and the robe that he wore at the bottom, and I know it was him, and it helped me get through a very difficult time in my life. And so I really believe in all of that. I mean, that's...
Right.
He was real, and I've been saved from two severe crashes. We saw both my son and I a near miss, and I almost died. And I have, because see, I don't see things. Well, I do see things, but not like you. And I don't see spirits. I hear. I can hear my phone ring one time, but it's not my phone, and it wakes me up. And I go to answer the phone, but it's not my phone because I have callback. I can call back the number, and it was my son from the night before. You know what I'm saying? So those are signals to me. I haven't figured it out what they are. I heard a bicycle bell. You know how the bell on a bicycle?
Mm-hmm.
That different sound. But I don't hear talking. I don't get that. But when I almost died, I had a visitation, and the gal that used to co-host with me, she thought it was probably either God or it was Jesus that came. I mean, there was nothing anybody could do. I survived the whole thing. It was a virus, a very bad one. Attacked my whole body. It wasn't just the lungs.
Wow.
It was my, they couldn't do anything for me. But it appeared, and my whole room was glowing, this yellow healing, you know. But it wasn't just that. I had to see it. I turned around, and I saw this, and I it wasn't a person. It wasn't a man. It wasn't. It was a crystal, a huge crystal, and that's it was sparkly, and the glow was coming from that. My whole room was lit, all of it. And I will never forget that. And sometimes I have to remind myself, when I'm not feeling really up, I'll say, you have to remember something, Natalie. You were saved for a reason.
Yes, you were.
I don't think my job is done yet. There's something else
no.
that I'm going to be doing. And no. I, because I had too many near misses in my life, too many, and I love what I'm doing. I really do love, just like you, Anne. You know, we have found something. Look how lucky we are. There are people out there that they don't even, what should I be doing? I don't love doing this. I don't love my job. I'm tired of doing for you and doing for you. I don't say that at all. I'm looking for more people to help.
Right.
And I think that what you give out comes back to you. And there's just no, there's, you know, and I just, that's how I believe, but it's been wonderful talking to you. You're so, you have so much knowledge, much more than I have. I have other kind of knowledge, but you have all of this background.
And we all have
all
our
this,
gifts. Yes.
Yes, we do. We do.
Yes.
And that's really, really true. And so you have another book that you're going to be working on. I know this one just came out, so you're probably burned out with writing, right? Oh, no, not you. You write you write all the time. No, I take that back.
Right.
You're not burned out with writing. You love to write.
Well, I want to do one on the more negative energies, like our emotional states, so we can understand them more, like how greed and hate and fear really rob us of our life force and how to work with that. So that's going to be my next one. But I haven't really started
okay.
it except for the outline. Yeah.
How long did it take you to write this last one? I mean, I always ask all the authors that because I'm just curious.
Well, it took me about 10 years because I have a healing practice and I also teach shamanism. So I'm very busy. So it's like finding little times here and there to write. So it takes a while to get one, to finish them. But I'm hoping maybe to work a little less and write a little bit more now.
Yeah, well, but you can do everything via computers now. You can teach via computers and you don't even have to be in the classroom now and everything. The world has really opened up to allow everybody, there's no excuse. You can learn how to do things. Google it. It's there. It'll give you an answer. I mean, it's all there. I mean, it's the world has gotten to be, if I would have known when I was 9, 10 years old that I would be doing what I'm doing, I probably would have flipped out and thought, no, you're not going to be doing that. Why? How are you going to do that? How are you going to be looking at a screen and typing on a keyboard and it's going to go on the screen? Ah, here comes Bill Gates. That's how you do it. So you
right.
see, somebody started something because he did it on a television. So somebody started something, and then it expanded. Look at the world we live in. There's so many opportunities for people. And I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be a nurse. I never had the encouragement. But, you know, Anne, I don't think I was supposed to have the encouragement. I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and because I'm very happy at it. I could have chosen something else and been miserable.
Right.
You see? So, you know, and my gift is bringing people like yourself. I've never met you. We've had a wonderful conversation. It's been nonstop. And I think that's one of my gifts. And
yes.
I can present you, help to present you to the world, Anne, beautiful Anne that you are.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you.
And go to her site. Oh, you're welcome. Go to her site now. I want everybody to go there and see everything and look at what she's wearing. It's just so beautiful. The colors are just so beautiful. I really And she's got all kinds. She's got featured articles. She's got workshops, books by Anne, shamanism, soul work. See, I love that soul work stuff. You know that. That's me, soul work stuff. I because it's something deep, there's a lot of depth, I guess, with it. Maybe that's what it is to me. Doesn't mean that there is, but to me, that's what it is. But anyway, thank you for coming. I'm honored to have you on my show.
Okay, enjoyed it.
Oh, I hope you did.
It's an honor
I mean,
to be
you know,
here.
We carried the. I mean, I got right in there, and I sometimes surprise myself because I ask the right questions, and all it is pulling out stuff from you. And I mean, I have a content writer. She writes everything like about you. I've got two sheets and questions, and I didn't even ask any of the questions because I don't have to. Because that's just a gift that I have that I can do it, and I love it so much. I really do.
Oh, good.
I'm smiling and I'm happy, and so thank you again, and keep writing. And I know you're going to keep writing and work on this, do this outline of this book, and get going. And everybody, you can go. Is this book on Amazon? Everything is on Amazon.
Right, it's on Amazon, and I think Barnes & Noble.
Okay, I'm going to put it in my bookstore so that if people want to go to planetstarswithaz.com, you can see the Akashic Bookstore is there, and it lists all the people that I have interviewed, all of their books. So long as it's been on Amazon, it's there, and it clicks right to your book, and they can purchase it that way. And, you know, it's another thing that I like to do. I mean, I just, you know, my webmaster says, well, why do you want to do that? You're not getting anything. I said, I think I make a penny from it or something. I said, because it's what I want to do. Okay. He says, I've known you 9 years, right? Yes, don't argue with me. I know what I'm doing. And, you know, and I told him one thing not too long ago. I said, don't ever tell me I'm going to fail because I won't. I said, don't even think it. Because we've had tough times on my own site because it's been tough. People don't want to spend any money. And I get it, but you got to hang in there tough. You just got to hang in there and know, just know, it's going to get better. It is getting better. So I want to wish you to be safe, Anne. Be healthy.
You too.
Keep doing your beautiful work because it is beautiful what you're doing. It's just you're giving so much out there to the world, all this material. And I probably will hit you up for something for the magazine, for the June or July issue, because I have your email address now once I have that, and I have your phone number, phone number, but I don't usually use that, but I'll do that. I like to keep your work out there when it's something important.
Well,
yeah, all you got, you know, just whatever you can send me will be great, but I'll contact you. Anyways, you're going to love how I end the show. I do it every week. And that is, believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. That is a phrase that I have used for years, and I do it. I end my show all the time because it's how I believe. And I'd like everybody to know that you don't have to actually see it with your eyes. Just know that it's there. That's all. Just believe. So with that, I'm going to say goodnight. And next week, I won't be on next week because I have to have a little bit of oral surgery done, and it's going to be done on Wednesday morning, so don't panic. It's nothing big deal, except that he did not think that I would be at my peak speaking. You know, he said, you might be a little low in your emotions and all of that, and he said, talking to you today, he says, I just think you fly when you do your talks. I said, well, I do, and he said, so just take a break and... So I had to cancel that. But in 2 weeks, I will be back on. And thank you again, Anne. You're just such a sweet, sweet lady. I get this really wonderful feeling with you.
Okay. Well, I really enjoyed being on, and I appreciate all that you're doing to bring a new heart and consciousness to the world.
Yes. Thank you. That's I love what you just said to me. That makes me feel really good. So with that, everybody, have a good night. See you in 2 weeks. You can always email me at starswithaz@ mysticlivingtoday.com. That's the magazine, of course. And I'll answer you. If you have anything you'd like to submit, I'll take a look at it. I rarely get anything that I say. Well, I don't think I've ever refused anything. I accept all of it. And an image. And write to me and say, I've got this idea. Can I write? You know, the more the merrier. I mean, it takes me a couple of days to do it, but I'm like floating when I do it. I'm like, on a high. It's really strange when I do the magazine. It's a wonderful feeling. It's because, well, look what I'm doing, you know. It's wonderful. Everybody should do some beautiful things, make some people happy. So, okay, with that, I'm going to play the song that I always do. It's called Free to Love. That's Candy's song. She's just all about free to love. That's just a friend of hers that did this. And thank you again, Anne. And I'll connect with you soon, Anne.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be,